So today, October 6th, is the feast day of Saint Bruno, a German saint who founded the Carthusian Order, which is probably the most amazing order in the history of the Catholic Church. It was founded about the year 1100. It's the only order in the Catholic Church that has never needed to be reformed because it never got lax. It's been the most strict order in the history of the Church for almost 1,000 years now. This order of the Carthusians is the one that is, certainly when I describe it, its daily life and the schedule that these monks keep, it is very inspiring to know that there are men throughout the world living this kind of sacrificial, penitential, and prayerful life. There's only a handful of Carthusian monasteries throughout the world. We actually have one here in America. I went to visit it a number of years back when a friend of mine became a Carthusian monk. It's up in Vermont, up in that area. And the Carthusians, well, first of all, let's take a look at the life of Saint Bruno, who was born in Cologne, Germany, where this recent World Youth Day was held. And he received the best education possible. He went off to study at the cathedral school in Reims. When he was 27 years old, he received his degrees in theology and began to teach and was the head of the school of theology in Reims. And throughout Europe, the brightest young men would come to study under St. Bruno, including a future pope, Pope Urban II. In the year 1075, Bruno was chosen to be the chancellor of the Diocese of Reims. But this diocese had an archbishop who was quite immoral. And because of that, he drove Bruno out of the city, confiscated the property. Eventually, this evil archbishop, whose name was Manassas, believe it or not, I don't think the city of Manassas was named after him, but Manassas was finally deposed, and Bruno was able to come back to the diocese and was offered to become the archbishop, but he refused. He did not want that. So then, through the help of St. Robert of Salems, who founded the Cistercian order, St. Bruno also decided to live in solitude, to become a hermit. And so he was able to get some property in Grenoble in France at the base of the mountains, the Chartreuse Mountains. And so because of that, his order became known as the Carthusians, which has to do with the, obviously, that mountain range. Well, his life of prayer and solitude didn't last too long because his former student became the Pope, Pope Urban II. And so because of that, Urban knew that Bruno was such a very wise and holy man that he called him to Rome to be his counselor and his advisor. And so he brought him to Rome. But then there was problems in Rome because the anti-pope took over temporarily, or at least someone was claiming to be the anti-pope. And because of that, the true pope had to flee from Rome, and Bruno went with him. They went down to southern Italy, down to Sicily, where the king of Sicily was able to give refuge to the pope temporarily until he could be restored to Rome. And it was at this time that this king also gave Bruno additional property to establish another monastery there. In September of 1101, Bruno became sick and died, and he died on October 6th, and he's buried there in the monastery of Santa Maria, and says his body was later moved to the church of San Stefano. What is unique about the Carthusian order is, as I mentioned, it's the only order that never needed to be reformed. You've always had reformers in the Dominicans, the Franciscans, the Benedictines. All those orders have, at one time or another, fallen into laxity, but never the Carthusians. The description of the Carthusian life is pretty amazing. Each of the monks live in a monastery on the same property, but everyone has their own hermitage. Everyone has their own cell, which is actually three cells in one, sort of on the one area. There's an outdoor garden where the monk has to grow his own food, his own vegetables, and other things that he's able to eat if he has a good harvest. And so he has a little garden. He has to chop his own wood because there's no air conditioning, there's no heat. All he has is a wood stove in the center of the cell that he has to during, and he has to be pretty busy because he has to cut wood throughout the year so he has enough to get through and survive through the winter. So they have to be in, you know, excellent health. They chop their own wood, they store it, and then they use this to keep warm. There's also, I guess you would call it a study area where he has a very simple desk and his books. All the meals are taken individually. The meals are slid through a slot in the door, and only on rare occasions, on feast days, do they ever eat together, which is only a handful of times each year. But the meals are slid through the door. They're vegetarians. They eat no meat whatsoever. And one of the meals is just usually a bowl of soup. So they live a very penitential life. Their bed is, I guess you could call it a bed, it's basically just a piece of wood. And this slab, like plywood, that they sleep on just has a very thin, blanket and a little tiny bit of padding. But they sleep on this. And what makes their life so difficult is that they never sleep all through the night. They usually go to bed probably about 9 o'clock, and then they get up at midnight. So they're only about 3 hours sleep. And then from midnight to 2, they're usually in the chapel praying. And then they get to go back to sleep for another 3 to 4 hours and get up again, go to bed at 2 and get up around 5 or 6. So what makes that such a difficult life is that they never get a solid, let's say, 6, 7, 8 hours sleep. It's every night it's 3 hours, pray for 2 hours, and then go back to sleep for 3 or 4 hours. And then they have the mass and their other duties. I believe they do come out of the cell to can celebrate mass together. And then I believe that maybe once a week they go on hikes together. But again, it's an amazing life. And to know that there are these men that are living this kind of life should inspire us and encourage us, because we know that they're praying for us. They're praying for the church. They're praying for the Pope. They're praying for the priesthood and the Catholic Church throughout the world. So it is a wonderful inspiration to know that the Carthusians are out there. And as you know, the church is the body of Christ. And we living in the world, are like the hands and feet of the body of Christ. But we also have some of the members of the church that are the inner organs of the body that keep it going, the heart and the lungs, without which the church could not live. So we ask St. Bruno for his continued intercession, that in our lives, as busy as they are, we all carve out some time every day for prayer and solitude. You know, we can't live the Carthusian life, obviously, but we should be able to, at least every day, carve out 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour, every day for prayer with the Lord. So St. Bruno, pray for us.